Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Welcome to the live stream. And yes, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Ken. Facebook, I think. They'll let us know. Somebody will. But I'm going to say it because I was told that we're Facebooking, so, which has been a while. I think I've announced it like 8 weeks in a row, and we put out new Facebook, so sorry. But anyway, I only have one announcement. There will be no communion today. We'll be having communion next Sunday with Pastor George Winston leading us in the service there as well. Thank you for Wayne for today's message and for him leading us as well. I want to bring up Cole Hazelbring for an update on the call.
All right. Good morning. So this past Monday, I had the privilege of getting to talk to Pastor Brennan. We had about a 30-minute conversation as to things we could do better, if you felt like we represented our congregation accurately, and kind of where to go from here. And he just wanted me to relay the message to you guys that he thoroughly enjoyed our congregation. To the call committee, he said that we did nothing wrong. There's nothing about this congregation that turned him off. He had nothing bad to say. So take that as a compliment to everybody here, that it just speaks volumes of what we have going on here. Really what it boiled down to is that was his home congregation in Oklahoma City. He wasn't prepared to step away from them yet. He said that if he would leave, it would really kind of be the end of that congregation. And he was just not ready to do that at this point. So we will keep searching for the call committee. And we just thank you for all your encouragement. And I wanted to let you guys know it was nothing that this congregation did to turn him off. It was just, you know, the will of God. And we just thank you for that. So thanks.
Good morning. Call to worship this morning is from Psalm 33. Sing for joy in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together that you have provided, that we may come to worship you. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be among us. And as we worship you, may it be in truth and pleasing in your sight. And so as your Spirit moves, Lord, may we be responsive to it. May the preaching and the praises be pleasing for you. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our first hymn. Number 236, Come, Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove. Let us confess our sins using the number 9 on page 49. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to ask for your forgiveness. We have sinned against you and against ourselves and need your cleansing. We have tried to do what is right, but have not been able to keep our way pure. We know that we are to death the deeds of the flesh, yet the old nature dies hard. We need your tender touch and your cleansing grace to help us stand in your presence again. Thank you for your forgiveness and mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the Father in heaven, have mercy upon us. O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy upon us. O God, the Holy Ghost, true Comforter, have mercy upon us. Declaration of grace this morning is from 1 John chapter 1. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah 58, 3 through 9. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure, and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel, and to fight, and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to be humbled himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord forever shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call him, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness. Psalm 112, 1 through 9. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid. Until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. And the epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 12. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, so that your faith might not rest in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this,
For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, no heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God.
Please rise for the reading of the Gospel. Matthew 5, 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Here ends the gospel.
God be praised for his glad writings.
Let's confess together the confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, page 4. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come forward. And you don't even have to sit down, because you know what we're doing today? We're going on a field trip. So that means we're leaving the sanctuary. Are you ready to go with me? Good. Come on, let's go. You all, you can do what you want to. We'll be back. Ooh, it's kind of dark back here. Did you notice that? Guess what? Go in there. It's even darker. So So in that basket right up there, can you see that basket up there? Pick out one of those. Okay. Ooh, nice. Huh? How about that? Oh, you turn that one on by the... Oh, you figured that out. You figured that. You have to turn this thing down there. Oh, this whole bottom here, like that. Oops. Oh. Like that. Okay.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so now what I want you to do is, who picked out the one? Let's see, which color is this one? Oh, silver. Good. You're my man. Come here, Braxton. I want you to get, just, you don't have to go under there, but just take your light and just put it down there like that. That's right. You turn yours off. On the back here. Just the same way we turn it. See this piece back here? Turn it that way.
Cool.
So now it's pretty dark in here, but we can kind of see because we've got a little bit of light there, right? Okay, so that's some light. That'd be like somebody kind of hiding their light. But now, go ahead and get that back out. And you guys turn yours on and set them up here on the desk. It's that back piece way back here. Turn that like this. See, there it is. So we'll set that like this and that like that. And Braxton, you can put yours up here like that too. Now watch this. Got to get yours a little bit closer here.
It's kind of like Rapunzel.
Yes, it is. Okay, here we go.
Basket of her hair.
Yeah, put that one under here too.
All.
Now it's pretty dark. But we can see a little bit, right? But that's still not very good. We're hiding it under the bushel. But watch this.
Whoa.
Now set them on top of here. Look at all that light in the room. You do. All that light in the room. And then if you get somebody else to come along and be a light. Whoa.
Holy moly.
What do you think?
It's like a light fest.
So that's our light that we are in the world with, right? And so if you have more people with more light, we can see better. And if we can see, then we can understand. Okay, so here we go. We're going back to where we belong. You can leave your lights in here if you wouldn't mind. Let's go. Yeah, let's go this way. This way, Brian. I wonder what they've been doing in there, don't you? Boy, they're quiet. That's different. Okay, thank you. Thanks for your patience. What'd you do, Noah? Did you play songs for them? Okay. Where does that take us to? Oh, this little light of mine, number 359. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today seeking your pearls of wisdom out of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in that endeavor. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the world's in a downward spiral. Anybody would agree with that? It sure feels that way, right? And I'm not going to argue with that point, you know. The old saying, there's something rotten in dark Denmark. You could substitute any place in the world for Denmark and you'd be right. There's something rotten in this world. But it's not new. You know, Noah, he was the one person that God saw as righteous. But in Genesis it says all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And Paul in Romans 3 says no one is righteous. No, not one. And we've all been a part of that younger generation at one time in our lives. Some of you still are. And some of us has gotten to be what might be deemed the older generation. But I think this same sentiment has echoed throughout the ages. That younger generation. I don't know what's wrong with them. And our forefathers have said that, and some of us are saying that. You younger folks, you're going to get older, and mark my words, you'll be saying it. And we're all right. That's the sad part of it. We are all spiritually, as a nation, as a world, going downward. It's true biologically. You know, in the early, when God created Adam and Eve, they were perfect. Biologically, right? And the question's often asked, well, how did they populate the earth? They intermarried, right? Yeah, and we don't do that anymore because that's the gene pool has become so sullied now that it's dangerous to do that. But back then, it was so pure yet that that was perfectly acceptable all the way through. I mean, Abraham and his sister, you know, he claimed that's my sister. Well, it's true, but also his wife. But that wasn't against God's law until Leviticus, which was later. But why did God impose that then? Because it had continually deteriorated. I don't know. I don't know if there's empirical evidence of this, but it seems like disease and all those frailties are more rampant now than ever. I'd have to ask a nurse or a doctor or somebody else. But the world is spiraling downward. Now, today's gospel picks up where last week's gospel left off. If you were here for that, it was the Beatitude. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers, and so on and so on. But in verse 11 and 12, which is the end of last week's chapter 5 of Matthew, 11 and 12, it changes from the just generic, blessed are the peacemakers and so on. Then it says in 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. So now it comes from the more higher level in general, peacemakers and so on, to the blessed are you when this happens to you. And this week continues. So the very first thing Jesus tells these followers of his, you are the salt of the earth. And you means a lot of things. You know, it can be singular, it can be plural, it can be kind of different nuances. If you unwrap this a little bit, now this isn't my wisdom, I've read this commentator, but it makes sense to me. It says, the emphasis is kind of like, You alone are the salt of the earth. And you know, I've wondered this myself a lot of times. Jesus comes here, does his ministry. He calls 12 men to follow him. And yeah, there was other disciples, other followers of his. But these 12 were the chosen ones. And they were fishermen, they were tax collectors, they were just kind of gate cut, run-of-the-mill almost, seems like, common people. And to those, he turns over the church that is going to proclaim the message throughout the world. Those 12, that little group. And that's kind of where he's driving here. You alone are the salt of the earth. It's not going to be some others coming to as to your aid and that kind of things. You're it. Okay, so thinking about that, what are the two uses for salt? Two of the uses for salt that I can think of. One, it enhances taste, right? So, man, if that, whatever it is, green beans, needs a little bit of pizzazz, you put a little salt on there and then, green beans. Or, that's one use, but I don't think that applies here, because why would you want to enhance the earth? It's rotten. You don't want to be enhanced taste of rotten stuff, right? So the other reason you use salt is to preserve. We drove by Diane Nell's house the other day, or we went caroling out there is what it was. And I remember putting up hay in that place for Louis Frerichs. First time I ever salted hay in my life, I thought, what are we doing? We're salting this hay. Oh, yeah, you got to, every time you get, you know, work up the hay by, you stack it, and then you got to throw salt on there. Well, I think, I don't know for sure why that was, but I think it was two reasons. One is that way he didn't have to give salt as a supplement when he fed the hay. It's already there. The other reason was make sure it didn't rot while it was up there. Preservative. Right? I don't know. I did what I was told. I didn't ask Louis any questions. But I think that's the primary reason, to make sure it preserved until it was there. So then Jesus goes on and says, if salt loses its saltiness. Now, have you ever heard of salt losing its saltiness? I have searched this can over, top, bottom. I've read every word on here. And unless I'm kind of blind, which some people think I am, there is no expiration date on salt. There's not even a best if used by date. So I don't think salt ever loses its saltiness. Unless, you know, it's always sodium chloride, right? NaCl, salt. And so salt is salt. But if you break that apart, it's really no longer salt, but it's not useful for what salt is used for. So that the implication is that that's impossible for salt to lose its saltiness. So now you think about that. Who's he talking to? Frontline people, right? They were going to be the salt of the earth to stop or slow the rotting of the earth. Flesh, men, mankind. That was their purpose. You're going to slow that down. So when sodium is broken from chloride, it's not salt anymore. Just as when a Christian is broken from Christ, he's not a Christian anymore. So when that bond is broken, you're no longer able to slow that rotting of the earth, the corrupting. Then you become part of the corruption of the earth. So that's what he was driving at. You must maintain your relationship with me in order to have that positive effect in the world. So that is a slowing of that corruption. Then he turns the second side of it. You are the light of the world. And there again, that you is the same thing. You alone are the light of the world. John chapter 12, 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. 1 Thessalonians 5. For you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Darkness is the world. We're the light. darkness as that office back there with all the doors closed. There's no windows in there. It was dark. But man, those kids, when they turned that flashlight on in there, they lit up. Not only did the room light up, they lit up. That was pretty cool to see. So that's that. So the light is Christ and his followers. Hence, it's you alone, followers of Christ, are the light of the world. So, a lot of good gets done in the world. And I hesitate to bring this up, but I'm going to because I'm a part of a group of Sleep in Heavenly Peace. Yesterday we got together, 45 volunteers got together, built 42 beds, bed frames, built 42 bed frames. They'll go out and they will be given to kids who don't have beds, and that's all good. And it's not just those 45 or so volunteers, but, you know, I think about that. We've collected blankets from 4 different congregations already, so that's a part of that. And I've collected sheets. We've collected money from all over the place. And so that's all part of that. And that's a good humanitarian effort. But as I think about those 45 people there, I know some were Christian, but their being there didn't make them a Christian. There were people there, I assume, I don't know, didn't ask, talk to all of them, or God only knows the heart, but I don't think they were probably all Christian, but they were still doing the same thing. So did that make us a light in the world? Don't know about that. But some things do make you a light in the world. True worship. When they say, I'm going to worship God on Sunday morning, that sets you apart from a non-Christian. I'm not going to get into all Christians are in church and all people in church are Christians and that. I'm not going there today. But true worship makes you as an indication you are light in the world. Support of preaching and teaching, home and abroad. Giving of your values there or your treasures to support people who proclaim that gospel. That's a sign of the world, or light in the world. Standing against anti-Christian and non-Christian religions. Standing against those. That's a sign. Confession of the divine truths. Readiness to stand in face of ridicule and persecution like it had in verses 11 and 12. For those who revile you, they will. So standing firm in those cases, that's a mark of a Christian. So Christians can, getting back to doing things as a group, Christians and non-Christians, if you stand often enough and are identified as a Christian and then you go participate, I believe that people see that you are a light in the world. They know, hey, there's a Christian and he's doing this. And I think you can do it that way. But I don't want to rely only on that because you get mixed together. Humanitarian works are done by Christians and non-Christians alike. But the light of Christ must be seen in us somehow to be effective. We don't hide it under a bushel. We get up on that hill. And if you'd have seen that, we had about 5 different flashlights at the end on that hill. And it was shining and it got brighter and brighter. So the more people we can make become Christians, the more people that light shines and the brighter it is. And going back to the salt reference, that corruption is delayed, retarded, stopped. But don't worry. Don't be deceived. Our light is only a reflective light of Christ in us. So Christ shines in our lives. We reflect Christ to others. And yeah, it's tainted some because of our sinful nature. But we are the moon to the sun, right? So the sun shines, the moon reflects it down to the earth. It's not as bright, but you can still see by it on the full moon. And then sometimes an eclipse comes around, and the earth gets between the earth or the sun and the moon. It goes dark. So what happens when earthly things come between a Christian and the Son of God? We go dark. Our effectiveness is gone. So let's not let earthly things get between us. Our good works are to be seen so that the glory may be given to God. It says in verse 16 of today. So in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So whatever glory there is, make sure he gets all of it. Now we come to the final part in our gospel today. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. So the accomplishments of the law, the fulfillments of the prophets. In Luke 24, he said to him, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." And in John 15, the word is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. And then carried it on in Romans, in the church, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there, it starts to tell us that we are part of the instrument God uses to fulfill the law and the prophets. In Romans 13, owe no one to anyone except to love each other, for the ones who loves another has fulfilled the law. So that's our responsibility. So the law is, has the law been fulfilled? The prophets been fulfilled? Yes and no. Some of it has. Christ's work on the cross, that fulfilled the law. He alone, you alone, Lord Jesus, can do that. You know, that's the clear gospel message right there. Our ability to fulfill the law, impossible. Impossible. But he's done it for us. He's taken our sins, paid the price, so that now, by faith in him, that connection of faith and trust in his work, we can be seen as righteous before God. And we can have admission to God's heaven. So the fulfillment of the prophets, we think about that. Matthew 1, where the Christmas story, it says fulfillment of prophets. And then he moved to Nazareth. That fulfilled the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. And Matthew 3, John the Baptist, he refers to Isaiah's prophecy, another one fulfilled. And then Matthew 4, what was spoken by Isaiah might be fulfilled, that the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan and the Galilee of the Gentiles and so on. That's all being fulfilled. So has the law and the prophets been fulfilled? Much of it, yes, by Christ. Some will be fulfilled in the last day. God alone will determine that. In fact, not even the angels know when that day will come, but it's coming. But that's not in our hands. But some is being fulfilled today by the church, you and I as Christians. Again, Romans 8:4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, Paul writes. So how do we fulfill that? We look back to those good works that he talks about in verse 16 of today's gospel. That is fulfilling the law of loving one another in the name of Christ. To fulfill means to fill to the top of the vessel. No more room, nothing left to do. It's full. And so some of it's full by Christ, some of it's being filled by the church's work on earth. And then ultimately, the last prophecies will be fulfilled when he comes. So then in the last verse of today, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now in that day, the scribes and Pharisees, it was like, man, if they don't get in, nobody's making it. Because they know the law, they've taught the law, they're acting out the law. The scribes mostly on the first part, the Pharisees on the last. They were living that lawful life, at least in the view of themselves and others. Others accepted the Pharisees as that's the way we ought to be living. But Jesus says, unless you can do better than even them, you know, the ones who are held in the highest regard, far exceeding them, it says, you'll not make heaven. So what's a guy to do? Well, it's Christ's work on the cross, as I mentioned. That's the true righteousness that's available for us. It's available for all mankind, but all to be saved? No, only those who believe and trust in him. Okay, I want to share with you a little bit, again, you know, when a person works in a certain area, a lot of his thoughts are derived from that area. So sleep in heavenly peace, once again, if you'll go with me here. We were building beds is only half of it. Really, the payoff is when you get to deliver the beds to the kids, because that's the purpose. Get them off the floor and into a bed, right? And not only is it physically good for them, emotionally, that's a lift. But we got a message from one of the applicants for a bed, and it says, thank you guys for what you do and help people like us. You guys are amazing for what you do. Now that's encouraging, right? But I tell you, that middle sentence just, it bothered me. It says, and help people like us. Like us? What are you talking about? We're not better than they are, right? It seems to get that stratus of society going there. And that bothered me. But then I thought about it in another way, and I'm thinking, they're thinking, we don't deserve what you're doing for us. You know, you don't even know us. We're unworthy of somebody to give us a $250 unit so we can sleep in it. Why is that? And so that helped me a little bit, but then it really sunk in when I thought, isn't that our relationship with God? Shouldn't we say that? People like us, we don't deserve what he's done for us. We're unworthy. But he does it. And so I want to change that. Thank you, God, for what you do and help people like us. You, Lord, are amazing for what you do. And so now we can be the ones that he can say, you alone are the salt of the earth. You can work in his kingdom to help fulfill that law because of what he's done for us until all's accomplished. You could be that light in the world so others may come, see, and come and know who he is and how that has worked in our lives, can work in their lives, in his kingdom. We can be that salt of the earth also, slowing that corruption. So it's all about him, but at the same time, it's all about what he calls you alone. That's our responsibility. But we thank you, God, for what you do and help people like us. You, Lord, are amazing for what you do. Help us, Lord, to always recognize that you are our source of all good works, that they may be done to your glory. We pray in the name of Jesus, who did the work. Amen. Let us continue with our next hymn. 547, the light of the world is Jesus. pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for these gifts that you have provided to us, that we may return a portion of them for your use. Lord, we pray that you would put them to good use. We pray that those in authority would be guided by you as they determine how to best employ these gifts. And also, Lord, we pray for those who are in need of your divine help and guidance. We pray for shut-ins Juanita and Joanne, and those in need of healing for Gordon and Marcia and Rick, Logan, Linda, Eilert, Tim, Randy, Norm, Wendell, Danielle, Dennis, Robert, Diane, Randy, Gunner, Casey, Michael, Ty, and Blake, and Delbert. We thank you for all the healing that you have accomplished in some of their lives. We know, Lord, that they are healed and sustained by you and you alone, and so to you belongs all glory. We thank you for that. We also pray and thank you for procedure of for Bob this week, that it has gone well and that he's able to go out and about again and do work, which he loves. And we also pray, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones, those who mourn. Lord, we pray that your peace may be upon them and your presence may be felt by them as they move ahead day by day. May you lead them and guide them. We pray for those in the cradle role, for Willa and Lane, Kennedy, Elena, Madeline, and Joanna. Lord, you have begun a good work in them, and so we pray that they would continue to grow in faith. We pray for those who are in charge of their lives and those who have influence in their lives, that they may be able to guide them and bring you to them each day. Be light in their lives so that they may follow you. We pray for our church council, for Tracy, Dane, Craig, Corey, and Stuart as they embark together. We pray, Lord, that you would mold them together as a unit, that they may be effective in your sight. We pray for those in the call committee as they are again beginning to search for a candidate, for Warren and Nita, Amy, Cole, Carol, and Stuart, each one of them doing their part, and we thank you for their work together. We also pray, Lord, for Pastor Brennan and his church in Oklahoma City as he has decided to remain there and work there, lead them and guide them and have them grow in spirit, if not in numbers. But, Lord, we do pray that as they grow in spirit, that they would be able to go out and be your light and salt in that community as well, and that as others see that light, they may be drawn to it, to you. And so we pray for them. We also pray for our nation, our government, world leaders, and those in authority, knowing that you have put all those in their place. Lord, no one is there without you. And so we pray, Lord, that they may know you, recognize you, go to you for their leading and guiding, and so that your will may be accomplished by each one. We pray for those in the U.S. military and their families. Lead them, guide them, guard them, protect them, Lord, as they serve this nation. And we also continue to pray in the words that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The benediction today is Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hymn 503.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.